Welcome, everyone, to Episode 5 of The Bonbon Show. Today is April 20th, 2025. I am one of your hosts, Aaron. And hot off the press with Kirk and his little bit of Japan gallivanting, we're here today to chat about Kyoto, a place I haven't been to in about 10 years, but Kirk, since he was just there the other day, with all his insight, will inform us of Kyoto's current state and highlight key areas to visit. Example being on a one-day trip, if you ever decide to visit.
Hey, hey, Aaron. You are getting better at this intro thing. Hello, everyone. This is Kirk, and yes, I went gallivanting in Tokyo to escape the stresses of grad school. And in this episode, I wanted to talk about the trip, share a one-day itinerary I used when I was there, in case listeners who are thinking about visiting Kyoto want to use it. So first, let's start with a question. Aaron, have you been seeing the crazy news and the social media posts about what's been happening in Kyoto recently?
I think I've seen some news articles. NHK has posted some things. There's another news site I follow, Sora News, which they do like lots of wacky things, but they'll talk about Kyoto every once in a while and share some of the things foreigners are doing there. I don't look at a lot of social media stuff in terms of like what's on Twitter or Instagram or those other services. So I don't see the videos or see all the daily stuff, but I do know it's been getting busy or it's quite hectic there right now. And I know that with the Japanese yen being a little bit weaker, it's been favorable place too for other foreign tourists to come to Japan, and especially a lot of people when they come to Japan for the first time kind of like to do the golden triangle or whatever that you might call it, where they go to Tokyo, Osaka, Kyoto. And so I know those zones are, you know, really, really busy. So I know some of the things that have been going on, the crowds have been nutty. I've been hearing just people not respecting like the local traditions and norms and, you know, typical behavior that Japanese people would expect people to be, you know, behaving at. And so, you know, you see signs and things of people, you know, you can't go here or don't do this. And I think that's been kind of on the nerves of the locals as of late. What that looks like specifically, I don't know. But I do know people are going more often now, because even here at home where I live, I'll have people chat with me every once in a while and they're like, yeah, I want to go to Japan. I want to go to Japan. I want to go to Japan. And when I ask them, you know, Kyoto's on the top of their list of places to go, and not knowing exactly what's going on. And I'll hear about that from you in just a moment, but I do tell them, you know, with my limited knowledge there, since I don't have the firsthand experience, is that yes, Kyoto is a pretty awesome place to go, but do note that it is very touristy right now, and it's very busy, and just trying to set their expectations at a, you know, a normal level and not to
normal level.
Create an image that it's going to be, you know, peaceful and relaxing, and it'll probably be the opposite of that right now. But yeah, so I know a little bit, but I'm looking forward to hearing what your recent experience has been like to get a better picture of what the Kyoto of today is like, since the version I went to 10 years ago, I would assume is going to be a lot different. So I'm sure I'm in for a bit of a surprise.
Yep. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing about your knowledge and, how do I say, the news you've been hearing about Kyoto. Yeah, so I live in Japan, but I don't know, I understand what the news is saying about the yen being weaker, and, you know, it's been like the exchange rate is favorable if you're spending other currencies, which means many people are now coming to Japan because it's so much cheaper, like half the price compared to a couple of years ago. And, you know, after COVID and people have been able to travel for a long time, apparently Japan is like one of those places that are at the top of many people's lists of places to visit. And, Yeah, so I've kind of like also been hearing the news. I saw some very, let's just say, disturbing posts as well on social media
Uh-oh.
of tourists doing how do I say, bad things, like taking photos of people or blocking people's paths or going into restricted areas and stuff like that. But on the whole, I feel like for many people, as you said, Kyoto is like one of their top spots in Japan that everyone wants to visit. And it's
Yeah.
understandable because Kyoto is like a very tourist-centric city, but at the same time, it is a city that still has, like regular working people living and working there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So with all that, I wanted to escape my grad school studies, as I was saying. Felt was feeling a little bit burnt out, so I was like, you know what, let's go to Kyoto for a couple days. So I went there on Sunday, but the weather was terrible when I arrived, so I
Oh
don't
no.
even count the first day. It was rainy and miserable, but still there were a lot of people. Which I didn't really mind because some of the places I went to on Sunday, like the Bamboo Forest and Kinkakuji, are places that I had been to previously. So I've been to
Right.
Kyoto, I think, 3 or 4 times now.
Ooh,
I
look at
have fond
you.
memories, yeah, fond memories of Kyoto from my first trip to Japan in 2011. Kyoto was one of the places I went to. It was like in terms of crowds, it's definitely a very different place. But something I've noticed is each time I've gone back to Kyoto, it's just got crazier and crazier. I also heard that they introduced like a tax recently that depending on your accommodation, you pay like a lodgement tax or something. Lodging tax, I should say. So I stayed at like a super cheap hostel this time. So I paid like I think 400 yen. I'm not sure if it's a one-time payment or a per night payment, but that was something new that wasn't there the last time I visited. But yeah, Kyoto is still amazing, still worth the visit, but let's just acknowledge that there are crazy amounts of people there now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before I get
What
into
was
the itinerary,
the
yeah, do you have any questions or anything you want to know more about?
Where did you arrive to, like, how did you get to Kyoto? Where did you I guess was this the train station? Did you go by bus? And what was your initial impression at that point? Were you, like you said, the weather wasn't great and you noticed that it was busy, but did anything else catch your eye of like, oh, this is strange, or this is different than before? And tell me a little bit more about that experience getting there, just so people that are looking to get to Kyoto, what would be your best recommended way of getting there, knowing that it is a busy place to get to.
I came from Hiroshima, so I took the Shinkansen from Hiroshima City straight up to Kyoto, and like immediately I felt like almost the entire train was coming off at Kyoto Station. And like Kyoto Station was super jam-packed already, but Kyoto Station is a huge multi-level station. They have like a huge underground and huge shopping districts, food areas at the station itself. So honestly, I wasn't too surprised. It was a Sunday as well, so it's the weekend. I saw many people with kids, many families. I felt like, it's expected for like a spring weekend morning in a major tourism area. So it was fine. But like even just navigating the station was a little bit difficult, you know what I mean? Like the elevators, the escalators, just the space was just like very tight already. But I don't know, maybe I was just on the high of being in Kyoto. It was fine. Navigated my way to like the tourist center and got some maps and stuff. But yeah.
Is there any ongoing, I guess at the time of this recording, is there any ongoing construction or difficulties at the station in terms of maintenance, or is the station pretty much fully operational at this time?
Yeah, I think it's pretty much fully operational. Like the last time I visited Kyoto, I remember there was some construction going on the station itself, but I don't like maybe a little part of like the bus station, which is like more outside. There were like little sections blocked off, but nothing super major. That would like block off major sections of the station, at least not internally that I saw.
Okay. That's good to hear. I know sometimes it always feels like big centers or big stations or even like airports and stuff in cities are always under construction, and there's always some sort of inconvenience that passengers and travelers have to accommodate to. So it's nice to hear that at least Kyoto at this time is pretty easy to use, and you don't have to use this elevator way over here, or these staircases aren't open, or you're navigating weird detours. But I'm sure that will change soon, and we'll probably be like, yeah, we need to do some renovations because that's what we do. But yeah, that's good.
Oh yeah, it was I like Kyoto Station as a train station geek. I feel like it's well laid out. Like there's easily you can easily understand the north, east, south, west sections and what they are. I really like the underground with like the gift area and the food area. There's a bunch of different types of food very close that you can get. So I have, like no qualms about how the station itself is just the amount of people. So yeah.
People, right?
So Sunday was rainy. As I said, I don't want to talk about that. I was soaked and cold and I
Oh
still
no.
walked like 15, 20,000 steps that day, but it was all right. But what I did want to talk about was the second day, which was
Okay.
the Monday, which in my mind it's a work day. You know what I mean? People are back at work.
Yeah.
We're gonna get up early and we're gonna start off, and there will be not many people because it's not a holiday, it's not a weekend, it's I don't know, 8 o'clock in the morning. So yeah, things should be easy. Where I was staying at was close to Nijojo Castle.
Okay.
So I was like, let's start at Nijojo Castle and then make our way from there. So yeah, let's get into my one day itinerary of Kyoto.
Let's hear it. I'm excited.
Yeah, like it, I feel like it could easily be 2 days depending on how much time you want to spend. So like it for me it was
Okay.
1 day because I'm a air quotes experienced Kyoto traveler and I kind of had different things I wanted to do, and I'll get into that when I go to each spot. And feel free to interrupt me anytime if you have any questions, Aaron. And yeah. So yeah, this could easily be 2 days, but for me it was one. So the hostel I was staying at was near Nijojo Castle, so I said let's start from there. Nijojo Castle is also somewhere I had been to before, again from my 2011 trip to Japan, which is very fond to my heart. I actually went through some of those old photos and was all nostalgic, like, oh my God, I was such a
That's catchy.
baby. Yeah. How many years ago was that? I can't do math. It's 2025 now, which
That's
means that's what,
14 years ago,
14 years
2011.
ago. Oh my Lord. Whew. I was still in my 20s. But
Aww,
yeah,
you're a
so I visited,
baby.
yeah, such a baby. I visited Nijojo Castle, which was basically just a quick run around the castle to see different things. Nijojo Castle is like, I don't know, like a secondary residence, or was a secondary residence for the royal family. But it has some really good architecture, temples, and the gardens are as majestic as I remember them being so many years ago. So that's a good spot to start. And then
Is
from
it quite
Nijojo
affordable
Castle.
to go?
It
I guess
is.
just for our
I
listeners to know
don't
how much things cost.
remember. I think it was 1300 yen to enter the
Okay.
castle grounds. That also seems a little bit more expensive than I remember it. But then again, the last time I was there was 14 years ago.
Yeah.
So I think it was 1300 yen. But again, this castle could easily be half a day, if not more, depending on what you want to do and where you want to go. It's a huge castle complex with
Yeah.
like an inner moat, an outer moat, various buildings and things that you can do. Like, especially if you're taking it easy, I think you can spend the whole day. And for in that case, 1300 yen is quite understandably affordable, I think.
Definitely.
So yeah, that was Nijojo Castle. Spent maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours there, and then we went to Kiyomizudera. So we took the bus from right outside Nijojo Castle. Again, another good thing about Kyoto is that the transportation system is amazing. You've got buses, you've got trains, you've got taxis, you've got so many options to traverse the city. And the road network is also quite interconnected. So basically, right outside Nijojo Castle, I took a bus to Kiyomizudera, which was maybe 20, 25 minutes bus ride away. And
Oh,
we,
just a quick
yeah,
question on the
sure.
bus, just for people wondering, was the bus ride a specific like tourist bus for Kyoto to kind of go from main destination to main destination, or was the bus just a regular local network transportation bus that, local residents would use too?
Excellent question. You sound like a journalist. I like it. My co-host, ladies and gentlemen. It was just a regular city bus. Like that's the
Oh, okay.
interesting thing about Kyoto. It's like the I think there are like touristy bus that you can take, especially from Kyoto Station, but for the most part, most of the buses are just like regular buses that the residents of Kyoto, which is itself quite a large city,
City,
uses.
yeah. Okay.
So the bus from Nijojo to Kiyomizudera was okay, not as crazy as I thought it would be, maybe because there's so many buses. And arriving at
Yeah.
Kiyomizudera, though, that was when I was starting to really feel the crowds. Like Kiyomizudera
Oh,
is
okay.
probably one of the top places in Kyoto that many people would want to visit. It's like one of the most famous, well, let me say, temples in Japan. I still need to read more about it, but my main goal for visiting Kiyomizudera was to collect the Gosho-in, which I had failed to do in two previous attempts, again because of the crowds. But
Did
like
you get
just
it this
from
time? Please say yes.
I managed to get it after
Oh,
climbing up
yakatta.
the hill and braving the crowds. If you're watching this episode on YouTube, there is like clips of my time in Kyoto, recent time in Kyoto, playing in the background. So if you are watching it on YouTube, you can enjoy those clips. But yeah, it was just a lot of people climbing up the hill, because Kiyomizudera is like on a hill or mountain hill overlooking Kyoto City. But again, there was hardly any space to walk. It was just so many people. It was just like I felt claustrophobic, but I was outside. You know what I mean? Like, whew.
Yeah.
But managed to make.
What time did you get there, that it was that busy?
I think I got there maybe around 10 after 10 a.m.
Okay,
Was
mid-morning,
there.
yeah.
Yeah, there was just a lot of tourists, a lot of people, a lot of shops, a lot of there's a lot of stuff happening. So yeah, climbing up to Kiyomizudera, there's a lot to see again. Kiyomizudera, just like Nijojo Castle, could be a half day to a day of exploration, not just the temple itself, but the surrounding areas. Quite beautiful, especially at this time of year. But honestly, I just made a beeline for the Goshuin.
You knew what you wanted. You're like, I'm here for this. I'm doing this. Let's go.
Yes, so even getting the
Excellent.
Goshuin, there was a line. But I think this is after, I don't know, years now of collecting Goshuin. I'm almost finished with my book. We'll probably need to do an episode of the Goshuin or temple slash shrine stamps soon. Let's make a note of that. But
Yes.
I think this was my first time going to a temple or shrine where there was an entire room with multiple people. What I say, drawing,
Oh,
signing the
yeah.
Goshuin for people. There were like one, two, three, four, at least five different windows that you'd go to, and I guess people who worked at the shrine would sign your Goshuin for you. But that was still time consuming, at least maybe 30 minutes to an hour in a line to get that done. But I felt good that I got one of the most important and most popular temples in Japan in my Goshuin.
Yay.
Yeah.
Woohoo.
After Kiyomizu-dera, we went to Yasaka Pagoda, which is like a walking distance from Kiyomizu-dera. This was a shorter stop, again, crazy amounts of people, but it's more like a Instagrammable photo spot where you could get like some nice shots at what I say, in the presence of the pagoda. It looks really, really nice. The weather was also quite beautiful, but again, a crazy amount of people, and I felt like things were quite crazy where people were jostling for photo opportunities with the pagoda. But managed to get a few snaps and a few clips, and I don't know, I feel like I'd want to go back there maybe in the early morning or evening because it's like a public space. So it's
Are
not
the
like,
streets quite narrow and tight when you're
yeah,
making that journey?
definitely. So as you know, like back in the day, and listeners might not know, but like shrines, temples, these places were like central to different parts of Japan and cities, etc., like the way I guess train stations are now in Japan. So you'd have the temple or shrine, and then you'd have the whole shopping apparatus springing up around these areas with very narrow streets and different things happening in the markets and different vendors having their wares for sale, etc. So that's the case with the Kiyomizu-dera. The surrounding streets are jam-packed with all kinds of stores where you can get different things and eat different things and ryokans and all of that. So that was what I say, an interesting experience. But again, there's just so much you can do when you're, I don't know, tussling and trying to maneuver the streets. But yeah, Yasaka Pagoda, very beautiful. I think I'd want to go back there at sunrise or sunset as to get better shots.
Yeah, I think for me, if I was in that environment, I think it would take me out of enjoying it just because when there's lots of people around, I think I'm so occupied and my brain is just so focused on like managing the
Exactly.
just getting around that I'm like totally forgetting where I am and I forget to enjoy the moment because my can only process so much that I think it would be very difficult. So I think the key and that you're saying is like if you'd go back again, you would go early morning or late at night. And so I think that's key information for the listener to hear saying, you know, these places are awesome, but if you want to be more in the moment and experience that environment a little bit more intimately or not feel like you're getting forced out of the moment, then kind of heeding these tips that Kirk is saying is I think will be a you know, key to making your journey there a little bit more enjoyable, depending on what you're trying to get out of it. So, yeah,
Yeah.
that's good information
So,
to hear from you.
And while I was there too, I actually went with some of my classmates to kind of show them. Some of them are new to Japan, some of them have never been to Kyoto, and I don't know, I'm kind of like a senpai now, reluctantly. So I was kind of shepherding a small group of people, and like it was, I don't want to imagine what a tour guide or these type of people who have to shepherd people through these types of crowds, what their experiences are like. Maybe they're more experienced than me, but oh my God, I think this was the most stressful part of the day. Like watching people getting eaten by the crowds and trying to find like my lost sheep.
Got to put like tracking tags on your group and track them on your phone or something.
Exactly. But it but quite an interesting experience. And so from Yasaka Pagoda, we actually went to my favorite spot of the day, Nishiki Market. So we took a bus. So we walked back down the hill and took the bus on the opposite side of the road, where we came off for Kiyomizu-dera, and we took it to Nishiki Market. We could have walked, but I feel like some of us were getting tired and hungry at this point. So we,
That's fair.
wait, I think we walked a little bit from Kiyomizu-dera to escape the crowds and then took another bus. Maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes walk away from Kiyomizu-dera, if I remember correctly. But there is a bus that you could have taken, but the bus stop was overflowing with people. So we
Oh,
walked
yeah, that
half the
makes sense.
way and then took a separate bus, which was coming from the other direction, and came off at Nishiki Market. I love Nishiki Market. Like, usually I don't do markets when I'm traveling. I don't feel like it was like there would be like particular interesting places, but even as a air quotes veteran Japan traveler, I actually learned that Leo markets are quite interesting places to visit. And yeah, Nishiki Market is like it's covered, so you were protected from the elements. At that point, time of the day, it was getting quite warm. There was just so much food, so much shopping, so many shops, different things you could do. But in a way, I wasn't stressed as I was at Kiyomizu-dera and Yasaka Pagoda, because I feel like that's what markets should be. Like, markets should have the vibe
Yeah, that's true.
of a bustling crowd. And I felt like because of the streets and maybe being the people there being used to the crowds, things were a bit more organized. Like, people were on the left side if they're going in a particular direction, and on the right side if they're coming from a particular direction. So things were a little bit more less, or should I say, less chaotic than at Kiyomizu-dera, where people were trying to grab photos and there were strollers and different things just like clogging up everywhere. So yeah, at Nishiki Market, I got some scallops and some roasted chicken that I am still salivating about while talking about it. Oh my God, it was
I think
so
that
good.
was
I'm
that picture that you had posted somewhere, you like making like kind of like a funny face, I think. Maybe that was it.
That was it. That was it. And at that time, I was so hungry as well. After going to Nijojo, Kiyomizu-dera, Yasaka, and walking so much, I was starving. At this point, it was maybe 1, 2 p.m.
Oh,
in the
so a little bit of a
afternoon.
later lunch.
Yeah, definitely a later lunch. And yeah, those scallops were just doing things to me that I cannot say in the podcast.
Oh
And
wow,
everyone,
these
yeah.
magical scallops here.
Oh my Lord, yeah. And the Oji-chan that was making our scallops and stuff was quite nice and quite excited. Anytime I tell people that I'm from Jamaica, people always get so excited, like, oh my God, you're from Jamaica, Usain Bolt, Bob Marley, blah 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 blah. So yeah, he actually was trying to give us some stuff for free, but I was like, no man, it's cool. Let's just enjoy. So yeah, those
Yeah.
scallops and that roast chicken, I think was more from a Chinese stall, but they had like, I don't know, it felt like hundreds of kilos of chicken on display, in all different what do you say, flavors and sizes. But we went for chicken thighs. Some of my friends went
Yeah.
for stuff wrapped on a stick. I just went for like a chicken thigh roasted, and oh my Lord, amazing.
Delish. Yeah, that's
Yes.
awesome. Sounds good.
Have you been to any like markets when you are traveling in Japan or otherwise? Or am I?
Oh yeah, totally. I think some reason, I don't normally seek them out. It's just my natural tendency for Mindy and I to just find them on our own, and just usually they're like the local ones. We've definitely gone through some of the bigger ones too, but it's always just kind of like a nice surprise when you stumble upon them and you're like, oh, look at these like golden nuggets of stores and shops and food that you can try and stand around and experience. So yeah, I would definitely recommend people, if you're in the mood for some unique shopping experiences, or you're hungry, or you just want to see some cool things, or just people watch even, these markets mm-hmm. are a great thing for so many different needs.
Yeah, I guess I learned, because I usually don't go to markets, but I will definitely be checking out more markets in my future trips.
Yeah, okay. You can find some deals too.
Yeah, so affordable. Like, I don't think we spent 1,000 yen for the scallops and the chicken that we had.
Oh wow.
Very affordable. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really, really good.
Yeah, I think per person it was about 900, less than 1,000 yen, and we ate a lot of food. If we had gone to even, I don't know, McDonald's, we would have probably spent more and
had not
as tasty or healthy food.
Yeah, you got yourself a good deal.
Definitely. All right, the final stop after Nishiki Market we went to the Fushimi Inari Shrine, which is...
classic.
Very classic. A shrine known... what do you say, a family of shrines, with this one being the Fushimi Inari Taisha, being the head shrine, which is famous for like people doing exams, different things you want for luck. Again, one of the top spots in Kyoto. I feel like Kiyomizudera, Fushimi Inari, and King Kakuji, in my mind, is like the top three places to visit in Kyoto. And again, I had made attempts to visit the Fushimi Inari before, but always be like, nope, too much people, too crazy, I'm tired, I'm leaving. So this time I actually strategically decided to visit in the evening when it was a bit cooler, but apparently half of Kyoto had the same idea. So when I got there, the sun wasn't as crazy, it was getting more into the late afternoon, evening, but it was very similar to Kiyomizudera, a huge line. It wasn't as much uphill climbing as it was getting to Kiyomizudera, and at that time I'm sure I had at least clocked 20,000 steps already for the day.
Cool.
But it was cool. I wanted to get the Goshuin, which I managed to, but I didn't get it from like the temple people that signs it into the book. I had to get like one of the pre-signed papers, which is fine, I guess. But so I managed to get that. But honestly, after like walking around Fushimi Inari for a while, again dealing with the crowds, yeah, we were tired.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a long day, 20,000 plus steps. And dealing with the crowds and whatnot. Yeah, I think by that time I'd be pretty tired too.
Yeah. So we walked around a bit, not exploring as much as we should. And I know I've said it before, but like many of these places, Kiyomizudera, Nijojo Castle, Fushimi Inari, could all be full day trips depending on how much time you have and how slow you want to take it. So I feel like out of all the places that I had been to in this Kyoto trip, I feel like I'd want to go back to Fushimi Inari and of course Nishiki Market for some more food. But yeah, I feel like at some point we all just looked at each other while at that shrine. I was like, yep, I think we've had our fill for the day. Let's go back. So yeah. Any questions before I do a recap?
Yeah, I think leaving a place when you're like, oh, I didn't get to see everything, but that inkling of, yeah, I would like to go back, rather than overstaying your welcome and then being like, oh, I had enough of that place, I never want to go back. It's always nice to leave, you know, a little bit early rather than staying too much. So I think when you were saying that you went in the evening, I was like, oh yeah, that's when we went too. It was later on in the day. And, you know, again, that was like 10 years ago. And that was really the only thing we did in Kyoto when we went there, because it was just a quick stop. We were passing through. And so we were like, we have time for one thing. And it ended up being Fushimi Inari. And yeah, it was not as you were describing it when I went. Mm-hmm. There was definitely like people around, but it was very casual, no crowds to deal with. And yeah, so it was very pleasant. So yeah, your description of your experience is just so contrasting to what mine was. The only thing I did differently was the first time I went, I think, and I didn't do a lot of research. Like I went to some of the main things like Kinkokuji and Ginkokuji. And I did the, I think there was like a philosopher's path that we walked through, which was really nice because it was just at the start of the spring cherry blossoms was, and I probably should have did research, but I was like, oh, it'd be so cool to like go to the Nintendo building and see what like the head office and see what it was like. So I went to there and I was like, yeah, they got to have like maybe something that someone could go in and like maybe like a gift shop or something. But
and then you were, you know, almost arrested.
It was literally like it was just an office building that was blocked off and you couldn't do anything with. And I was like, well, I'll just take a picture of this and leave and pretend I never even came here, because that was a waste of time.
At least they have like a Nintendo museum now. So next time.
Yeah, Nintendo museum now, which I was going to ask you about if you saw a lot of promotion, even at like the train station and whatnot about it. But yeah, back when I went, Nintendo museum was not a thing. So that was, yeah, that was fun. It was funny to go there and be like, oh yeah, I probably should have done research, but I kind of wanted to be surprised with whatever I found instead of looking it up on the internet. But hindsight, I would have been like, yeah, I should have looked that up on the internet before I went. So if you are planning to go to the Nintendo head office because you think there might be something really cool for you to do there, no, just go to this new museum instead. That would be my only advice.
Yeah.
But yeah, it sounds like you had a really, really fun trip. Even though it's busy there, it's still nice to hear that you really enjoyed being there regardless, even though there were some, you know, stressful moments or some busy moments, that you still had a lot of good takeaways from your travels there and you'd still like to go back. So I think still very positive memories that you have.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely want to go back, maybe at a different time of year. Like, you know, I don't like the winter. We've literally made an entire podcast episode of me hating on winter.
Yes,
but for some reason, I don't know, I feel like I'd want to go back to Kyoto during the winter time to see if that may have a effect on the crowds and make it a little bit less stressful and more enjoyable. Who knows?
And if it, and the snow too, if it gets a little bit of snow depending on the year, I feel like the snow would give it a really nice, just the whole aura and the sense of being there with the snow cover. And depending on the time of day that you go, it would just, even if there's like a light snow still coming down, the way it hits the sunlight and everything, it would just
be magical.
It would change your whole perspective and feeling of being there. So yeah, I think you should go in the winter when it's snowing.
Mm-hmm. Coming from a Canadian, I don't trust you. But yeah, to recap, again, one day could be more itinerary of Kyoto. The way Kyoto is set up, you've got stuff on the west side, like the Kinkakuji and the bamboo forest. This one day itinerary is mostly for things on the east side of Kyoto. And again, I'm not a veteran, but as someone who's been to Kyoto a couple of times, I'd recommend splitting your time in Kyoto between the west side and east side. And other travel gurus and people would tell you to do that as well. That's not anything unique to me. But for the east side of Kyoto, starting at Nijojo Castle, making your way east to Kiyomizu-dera, then from Kiyomizu-dera to the Yasaka Pagoda, which is walking distance from Kiyomizu-dera, and then to the Nishiki Market for food, which is important, especially when you're walking multiple thousands of steps in the day. And then finishing it off at Fushimi
Stay
Inari
hydrated.
Taisha, yeah, is definitely a cool one day itinerary that I would recommend for people visiting Kyoto. All right, so
Sounds like an awesome itinerary. Thanks for sharing.
no problem. Thank you for your questions as well. Hopefully the listeners will find those questions also interesting. If you're watching on YouTube or you have any questions, feel free to leave a comment and ask us. We are actually in the process of setting up an email address for the podcast, so it'll be easier for us to get your questions answered and stuff. I hope to have it ready by the 10th episode of the podcast to kind of have a little celebrational thing that we can do. So for the early listeners who will be long-time listeners in the future, please look out for that. We are looking to hear from you.
Yay.
Yes, so that's it for episode 5 of the Bonbon Show. Have any of our listeners been to Kyoto or want to visit? Please stay safe if you do visit, and if you are there, please don't do anything crazy like the other foreigners that we've been seeing on clips and videos and stuff.
Yeah, don't become famous for doing foolish things in Kyoto. The
Yep.
wrong reason to become famous. But yes, please be respectful. And yeah, when in doubt, just do what the locals do in Kyoto, Japan, or really wherever your travels may take you. If you're not sure what to do, just watch and listen and just pay your respects as much as possible when you travel, because we don't want to ruin it for other people. And we would expect the same when people come and visit us at in where we live. So yeah, thanks for listening, everyone, and you'll hear from us again soon. Matane.